Well, we're concluding this week a four-week series on God's plan, this idea that God has a plan for our lives, and he delights in us knowing what that is. And so today, I'm kind of wanting to put the pieces together. So I should say there's going to be some areas of this that I'm just going to kind of glance off of, and probably because in the last couple of weeks we've talked about it. So if you go, hey, I wish he'd said more about spiritual gifts. Well, we have said more about spiritual gifts. Maybe even jump onto the website, download the podcast from that, download some of the resources from that. Or like last week we talked about the vital need to have other Christians that speak into your life. You need spiritual companions. You need mentors because there are things about me that I can't see, and there are things about you, bonus points if you remember this, things about you that... Okay, I was about to have a really great week. Okay, but there are things about you, you're also blind too. There are things about me that I just can't see, and there are things about you, you're also blind too. So we need other people in our life, like rearview mirrors. We need people to speak into us, to see things in us that we can't see, our strengths, our weaknesses, and even more importantly, our potential, because you can't see. You can't see what some of the people around you can see, so you need godly counsel. Well, today we're gonna put the pieces together by really just looking at two verses in the Bible. The passage is probably the most clear about how we can know God's will. Actually, it contains this really powerful promise. I'm just gonna put this promise up there before we... Rick, you jumped past it. Okay, back to... There it is. Here's the promise. And now you already know where to find it, so you can open it up in your Bibles. But here's the promise. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will be able... This is the promise from God's word. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And because you know, when it really gets down to it, for many of us, I mean, trying to figure out where God has us in life, what God wants for us, this is one of the biggest things we think about. I mean, that's, to a certain degree, that's why you're here. And it's why you're here in church, because you're going, I believe there's a God out there, and I believe that I need to be in tune with what God wants for me, or my life isn't going to be all the things that it needs to be. I've only got X number of years on this planet, and it's such a very, very, very short time. Oh God, I don't want to waste it. These are thoughts that burn on my heart, and I'm assuming that some of them burn on yours too. Life is so precious. It is so short. God, I don't want to waste a drop. So help me to know. Help me to know what my life is supposed to be about, what I'm supposed to orient myself around. Help me to know, like Evan said, help me to know what my thing is so that I can live out the purposes why you put me on this planet. Are you guys with me? You think about this, right? You think about this. And so this promise in God's word, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is a big deal. You can know, am I doing right now what God wants me to do? You can have the capacity to know, is this right what I'm doing right now, where I am in life right now? God, is this your will for me? And you can know that clearly to test and approve. Now, I want to talk, just before we go into the passage as a whole, I want to make certain that the target we're aiming for is the right one, because sometimes when we talk about God's will, we're not actually looking for what the Bible promises to give us. And we put some of the wrong expectations on Scripture. Like, for example, God never promises to tell us what's going to happen in the future. There's some dangerous distractions. Number one, and this is my opinion, so you know, take it with a grain of salt, but a dangerous shortcut as we're looking for God's will is assuming that we should be looking for a dramatic flash of insight. Like, you know, if kind of the idea that if we pray just right, I mean, even if the rest of our life is totally out of whack, we're not in our Bibles, we're not going to church, we're not part of, but if I can just pray just right, just get salt, whatever it is, like, do I have to do this? Do I have to get really quiet? Does it take a whole weekend? Suddenly, boom, it's all going to come. Yes. I'm supposed to move to Cleveland and buy a blue boat. I had no idea. Now, I need to say, I mean, I'm making light of this. Sometimes God does give a dramatic flash of insight. There are times when prophetic gifts will speak into your life where God might, in a moment of prayer and stillness, might speak to you in a very clear way. But the thing is, that's not what that passage promises. It doesn't promise that you're going to know everything. It promises that in the moment, you'll be able to, what's the word? Test and, you were listening, come on, approve. Test and approve, that in the moment you'll be able to go, God, is this your will for me? Right now, with where I am I in the center of your will? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? That's what the scripture promises. The second dramatic or dangerous shortcut we need to be really careful of is the Bible is a crystal ball. The idea that if we just study right, we're going to be able to see into the future. God promises he has a will for you, but he doesn't promise that you're going to know all of it in advance. Now, there are times, again, there is a measure of truth to this, which is why it is so dangerous. Because there are times where you might, through gifts of prophecy or things like that, you might actually get some insight into what is to come in your life and what's next. Sometimes there's a strong sense of calling in a particular direction. That can happen, but it's important to recognize this passage does not promise that. In the moment, you can test and approve what God's will is. The Bible is not a crystal ball. The Bible is a book to pull us into relationship with our Heavenly Father, to know God's heart, to know God's character, to get us in relation. And here's one of the things, and here's why that distraction could be so dangerous. If I'm reading the Bible because I want to know what's going to happen in the future so that my life can be successful, so I can be achieving all the things I want to achieve, so that I know what God's going to do, or you know, I'm trying to make God do what I want him to do, I'm not seeking God in that moment. I'm seeking success. I'm seeking assurance. Or I'm seeking security. But I'm not seeking God. And you know what the Bible calls anything that we seek other than God? An idol. We can open up the Bible, and if we're wrong-hearted about it, and we're not saying, God, help me to draw close to you, if our aim is to say, God, help me to see and guarantee my future, you're actually using the Bible towards your purposes of idolatry. As God leads, it is always in relationship. He wants you close to him. Because now, those of you with smartphones, you probably don't do this anymore, or those of you that are guys, you've never really done this, but sometimes we can think about looking for God's will. Like, remember when you got used to get lost and you have to go and you'd have to ask somebody for directions? Remember that? You know, so you pull over to a gas station and you say, hey, I think I'm lost here. Can you show me where to go? Then the person will say, well, you know, you go 2 miles this way, then you take a right. Well, what do you normally do at that point after you ask for directions? You write them down, say, hey, thanks, I'll see you later. And you drive away, and that person stays there. Sometimes we can think about seeking God's will in that kind of way. Okay, God, you just tell me. You just tell me what you want me to do. Thank you. I'll take it from here. And we drive away. And really, as we're going to discover, as we look in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and please open up your Bibles if you have them, or grab one from over on the tables. Powerful book. And I want you to understand this verse. I'd love for you to memorize this verse. It is so life-changing. God doesn't want to give you directions. God wants to be in the driver's seat. God wants to get in the car with you and get you there himself. Okay? So Romans 12, 1 and 2, and those of you that are really teaching-oriented, you're going to love it today, because we're just going to go through this passage super slow. Okay. First word. What is it? Come on. Therefore. When you see the word therefore in the Bible, always ask this question. What's the therefore? Right? So So I want you to just glance, if you're in your Bibles, just glance at the previous passages, okay? And you'll see chapters 9 through 11, this long, long discourse on how God has been working through the Jewish nation through all these years, how even in their disobedience, God still has a plan for them. Even like head scratchers, like all Israel will be saved. I don't even know how to understand this, but it ends with this. It ends with all this, okay? Oh, the depth and riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. I'm reading chapter 11, verse 33. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? I mean, Paul has to break into song to express all this. God is so merciful. He is so in charge of everything. We cannot figure him out. He is so great. He is so amazing. Therefore, in view of God's, what's the word? Come on. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. God is so good. God is so great. God is so wonderful. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And if you've got your Bibles, underline that phrase. Living sacrifice. That's what God wants us to be. That's a fitting response to his goodness, to his glory, to how amazing and how merciful and how wonderful and how good, how unfathomable God is. Our only fitting response is to offer ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. Now in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices. They'd get like goats and sheep, and they put them on things, and they'd slice them up. And see, those are sacrifices. But see, the goats and the sheep, they didn't have any choice in the matter, right? Goats and sheep don't go, yeah, it's barbecue day. They're not excited about this. But the Bible says you, in response to God's mercy, should be a living sacrifice. You know the problem with a living sacrifice? You can crawl right off the altar again. You know? Be a living sacrifice. God, every single day, I want to lay down my agenda for your agenda. Every single day, I want to lay down my desires for yours. I want to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper, what's the word? Worship. True and proper worship. God is so good. The only fitting response to him is to say, God, you're in control. You're in the driver's seat. I'm laying down my agenda for yours. And the Bible calls that worship. Often we think of worship as just like, you know, how is the worship in church today? What we're really saying is, how is the music in church today? To which you say, it rocks, right? No, exactly. Not so much. Anyways, but we do our best. We do our best. We've got a great team, right? But that's not, that's just the teeniest, tiniest little part. Our whole lives are called to be one of worship. You can worship while you're brushing your teeth in the morning. Worship while you're taking a shower. Throughout the day, God, it's this constant prayer. Lord, how can I give you the most glory right now? Or I've challenged you in the past to ask the question. It's kind of similar. Lord, what is the wisest thing for me to be doing right now? That's a really practical prayer life. Remember, prayers, good prayers don't need to be long. They just need to be building that relationship with your Heavenly Father. God, what do I need to be about right now? How can I give you the most glory right now? And sometimes we fear that, you know, that if we're really about worship, that means, you know, you have to like put on the really good clothes and stand really stuffy or whatever you got to do. When we're listening to the Holy Spirit, sometimes the most worshipful thing you can do is to just hang out in your house with your kids and play games. Because your children need to know their parents. Sometimes the most worshipful thing you can do is to take a nap. To say, God, you're in control. So for the next 3 hours, I'm going to be in the passenger seat. You take care of the world. Don't believe that worship is necessarily a stuffy act. Worship is in every single act saying, Lord, how can I honor you? How can I give you glory? How can my life show how good, how great, how wonderful you are? I want to be a living sacrifice. That's worship. Let's look at the second passage here. So it says, do not, what's the word? Conform. So don't conform to the pattern of this world. We are surrounded with a culture that tells us how we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to do, and you know, some of those things are fine to do. Some of those things aren't so fine, but you know, as we grow in Christ, we grow with a healthy skepticism of the messages that are around us. That all the time we're saying, well, is that true? Is that how God sees it? There's all sorts of messages. You know, relationships, our culture tells us, it's like buying a car. If you want to know who to get married, you got to take it for a test drive first. I mean, how are you going to know unless you take it for a good solid test drive? So we have a lot of people with lives that look a lot like used cars. Live in a culture that says might equals right. Money talks. Christians say, well, is that right? Is that true? Don't conform to this world. Don't just swallow everything you get told. Not everything around you is true. God, is that right? Is that true? But it says, be transformed by the renewing. And that'd be another great word to underline or circle or put an asterisk next to. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does our mind get renewed? Because, you know, it's not just information. You know, going to Bible studies, for example, that's a great thing. That's a really great thing. I hope you do it. But if you're just taking in information without an effort to be obedient to what you're learning, it's just information. Lord, help me to change how I think. Lord, help me to orient my life so that I see the world like you see the world. I want my mind to be renewed. So that involves having a daily walk with God. You know, whether that's simple as you're 5 minutes in the morning and you're looking at a passage of scripture and saying, God, help me to live this out today. What are you saying to me through your word today? I got to put a little plug in for, we're doing a class this afternoon from 1 to 3 called Christianity 101. Just kind of walking through, how do you read a Bible and how do you pray? And so if this is stuff you're like, man, I wish I had more information about that. Oh boy, this is your day. You know, you take off after first service, go get a good lunch and meet us down at the ministry center at 1. This is going to be a great adventure, okay? We need a daily walk with God. A daily walk with God. To let his word speak to you. To have that daily prayer life. Whether that's long or sometimes I think the short prayers are best. God, just help me to see what you're doing in my life today. Help my eyes to be open to the things you're putting around me. Lord, how can I give you the most glory right now? Right now. You know, I'm in Walmart in aisle 4. Lord, how can I give you the most glory right now? I'm at Little League practice. Lord, how can I honor you right now? I'm a substitute teacher today, and these kids are driving me nuts. How can I honor you right now? How can my life right now be an act of worship? I'm sitting in front of this calculator punching up numbers for my company, and it's really hard. God, how can I honor you and give you glory right now? I've got another crazy committee meeting. Oh, my goodness. But how can I honor you right now? How can this moment be an act of worship? Lord, what is the wisest, best thing for me to be doing right now? Daily walk. It involves, like in our church, we talk about worship and also connection. It involves building relationships with other Christians. You need some people in your posse. You need to be hanging out with some folks that you know are being an emotional support to you, that are helping you grow in your faith. You need, like we talked about last week, you need godly counsel. You need other people to speak into your life and help you to see things in you that you can't see in yourself. You also need service. I mean, you know, honestly, if you're praying that prayer, you know, that ongoing, God, how can I worship you in this moment prayer? Every moment is an act of service, right? Every moment. But it'll also involve, you know, discovering your spiritual gifts. God, what am I really good at? What's my thing? And how can I lay that down for your glory today? Renewing of your mind. God promises that your mind can be renewed. You can think differently. You can be a different person from the inside out by some of those basic things, just orienting yourself around the worship and glory of God as we discover God through His Word. So I want to ask you a couple of questions today. Just ones to be reflecting for your own life, okay? Are you surrendered? Did you just kind of sit here today and say, is it your prayer and you're honestly saying, God, my life is yours. My life is yours. I believe you've got a better plan for me than I do. I'm not worried about seeing all the things in the future. I mean, maybe God will give you insight, and if He does, that's wonderful, and listen to it and pay attention. But the bigger issue is, God, am I following you today? You know, one of the reasons why I think God doesn't show us too far into the future most of the time? Because if we did, if we knew, we'd be too scared to go. We'd be all thinking, oh, I could never do that. Or we start thinking like we're going to get to the future and God's not going to be there like He was in the past. Oh, gosh, if I was going to do that, how would He provide for my family? How would I have the support that I need? And all those different kind of things. And we freak out about stuff that if He just leads us day by day by day by day by day by day by day, we'll get there. At least that's my own theory. One of the reasons why I think God often doesn't show you too far in advance, because you wouldn't go. You'd freak out. You'd run away. You'd put up all these barriers because His plans for you are too good for you to even imagine most of the time. But is my life surrendered? Secondly, am I conforming? Do I just like have the TV on all the time and I'm just taking it all in? Or do I filter it and say, is this really true? Is this how you see the world, God? I hope you will have a healthy skepticism of our culture. Not everything in culture is bad, but not everything in culture is good. Don't just suck it in. Filter it. Compare it to God's Word. And thirdly, are you renewing? Are you letting God renew your mind from some daily acts of devotion, daily saying, God, my day is yours. It's your day anyways. My life is yours. You're building a posse. I mean, sometimes it's hard to find a place in the church. I know that. Connection groups, I mean, we try. We do our very best. And it doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to be all lovey-dovey and buddy and stuff, but you need a team. This is too hard to go alone. You need a team. And whether it looks like the way we call connection groups or not, it doesn't really matter. But you need a team. You need a team. Am I renewing my mind through connecting with other Christians? Am I renewing my mind by honestly trying to live out my gifts and my talents? Am I surrendered? Am I conforming? Am I in patterns of life renewal? All right, well, let's close it up with a little time of prayer, and I want to give us a chance to kind of interact with this. I realize this is more of a teaching sermon. I'm seeing some of you guys going, oh, man, where's the story? We'll come back to stories. But let's just interact with this a little bit before the Lord. So let's pray together. Lord, as we listen to your word, we want to rest on your promise that you have a good plan for our life. And Lord, we want to live that out. Lord, we recognize that it starts with surrender. And maybe today, as you're thinking about this, and you're realizing, I need to surrender my life afresh to God. Or maybe for the first time. I need to surrender my life afresh to God because I slip. I crawl off the altar. I want to be a sacrifice to you. If you want to just kind of pray out to the Lord, just as a way of indicating it, we're not looking around, just pop your hand up for a second. Pop your hand up. Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's right. God, I want to be yours. I want to be surrendered. Or as you think in your own heart, Lord, I have been conforming. I've been listening to all the stuff on TV and just taking it in like it was the truth, and I'm not filtering it. Lord, please give me strength to not conform. And if that's your prayer this morning, just maybe just stick up your hand a little bit. There you go. All right, Lord, forgive me because I've been just taking it in. Or thirdly, Lord, I want my life to be renewed. I want my mind to be renewed. Lord, help me to remember you on a daily basis. Help me to seek out community around me. Help me to find my thing and do my thing if I haven't done it already. Or God, if I know what my thing is and I haven't been doing it, oh, please help me. Oh, please help me. This life you give me is so short. I don't want to waste a drop or a moment. Help me to live for you. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.